We're now at Parshas Vayakhel, and the piece that we're dealing with is Rabbeinu Bechaya. It's something which is nominally dealing with the pasuk about Shmir Shabbos, but it introduces inyanim, much deeper inyanim, that are kedai to get a sense of. Okay, it's on Parshas Lamed Hei Pasuk Beis. The pasuk is Sheisham Tassam Lochim Mashvi Elchem Kodesh Shabbos Shabbos Hashem, and he points out Rabbeinu Bechaya, Lo Motzino Shehizu Moishal Hashabbos Bikan Kmo Shintar Pasuk Shal Maila Sheyom La Mushmarta Masah Shabbos Achas Apshoy Sai Tishmoru. So Rabbeinu Bechaya points out we have a Shmir Shabbos in Kisisa, we have a Shmir Shabbos here. The lashon is very different. Over there it's Shabbos Sai Tishmoru, a double Shabbos, and over here it just says Shmartem as a Shabbos. Basically, before he explains Shabbos HaTishmoru and Beini Bnei Yisrael, there's an element in Shmir Shabbos that is Nigla, the halachas as we know them and as given to us, and then there is a pnimius inyan in Shabbos, a hidden inyan of what Shabbos is, and that's the double Shabbos, Shabbos and Beini Bnei Yisrael, there's something. But Sina, Shabbos, and he extrapolates, as well as any other mitzvahs, are all given as double mitzvahs, and there is a panemius to it. Now, here he says, V'oma shmartem es ha-Shabbos, v'lo'oma es yom ha-Shabbos, l'fishu shpe-Shabbos ol-yoyna. It says over there, shmartem es ha-Shabbos, it's a yom ha-Shabbos, because we're talking about the panimistic union of Shabbos. And then he brings also from the pasuk from the Yisrael Asis HaShabbos, and so on. Now, he's going to make a point about when and where is appropriate to talk about these things. And he says that the parasha before was told to Yechidim, it brings right from the pasuk, this was told to Rabbim. V'nyonim nistorim elu ha-nechlol me-mitzvah Shabbos, those Nistadik inyanim that were told to Moshe about Shabbos. Nitzdave Moshe Pekach Baruch Hu Legalosom Lichid Yisrael. Moshe was told to reveal them to Yechidim. Olekach Hiske Shom Dabal Bnei Yisrael Sheyadia Lehem Inyan HaShabbos B'Nigla V'Nista. When he's speaking to Yechidim, and he's medayikin the Lashon, they're speaking to Yechidim, he should tell them about the Inyan of Shabbos B'Nigla V'Nista. Here he's talking about to everyone. And that's why he doesn't talk bechlal about the Rimazim of Shabbos and the Kabbalah and the Hester. And that's why he just speaks about the halachas, the pashta sense of it, and so on. Yes.
Previous pasuk which says es shabsosai tishmoru and stoop shabbosos, and so that was to Yechidim.
Correct.
That included both the Shabbos of the Nigla and the Shabbos of the Nistar, and here in this pasuk it's just one Shabbos.
Right.
Just Yom HaShabbos.
Right. And here we're talking about Vayakel to Kol Adas Yisrael. Over there we're talking Bnei Yisrael and so on. So Rabbi Nechaya concludes that Vehine Moshe Pasach Lono Pesach Mitoch Dvorov Lehalim Sisiter. So Moshe has given us an insight that we're supposed to hide Sisir Torah. And then the Rabbi Nechaya brings another ayah from the Chazal that it says that when Unkelus was Metargim the Navi, not Unkelus, I'm sorry, Zemes ben Azil was the Metargim the Navi, a Bafa came out and said, who revealed my secrets? And it says that certainly someone who reveals too much, Shunikra Megalas Torim, Verochel Megalaso. So Rabbeinu Bechaya here sort of puts down an anchor in the Torah of the inyan of not being Megalas Sisatar Damoinam. I want to talk a little bit about the inyan of not being Megalas Sisatar Damoinam. Why not? It's, when we talk about a secret, we usually talk about things that are, damaging to me. I don't want people to know that I have X problem, Y problem, might hurt shidduchim, might hurt the business, whatever it is. What is the reason of not being megala the devar nistarim to the hamon? Let's talk about this a little bit. There are a few reasons, and I would like to go through some of them, because especially today is a door where a lot of people feel it's very, very important to broadcast Sefer Torah. It's you almost can't give a shir without calling it something about Kabbalah. So it's important to understand a few of the nekudas why. Let's take an easy reason, a simple reason. And this is why Tamei Torah were not revealed. In it says actually in Parshas Kisisa, the Rishonim talk about it, that one of the reasons Tamei Torah is not revealed, Chazal say, the Gemara, Sanhedrin says, why weren't Tamei Torah given? Because two Tamei Torah were given, and Gedola Olam were nichshalim. Shlomo HaMelech said, Yavelo Noshim, he will be able to do it, Lo Yavelo Susim, he will be able to do it, and he was nichshal. When you give somebody a directive, and you don't give him the reason, the person does not have any shlita on the directive. The person is not the boss of the directive. I don't know, I was told to deposit it in the bank. But you know, you get a lot more money if you deposit it, if you invest it here or there. I'm not sure that he wanted to get money. Maybe he just has to pay a bill. I don't know. I don't have any mastery over the directive. So if my boss says, here's a check for $100,000, deposit it in the bank in the corner here, I can only do that. If he tells me a reason, he says deposit it here because they give the most interest, and I find that the other bank has jacked up the interest or whatever, I feel that I am now in a position to reverse that decision. So I become the master over it when the reason has been given to me. And I want to make it, I want to point out a sharp nekuda in this. If I guess the reason myself, I may be right, but I don't feel I'm the master of it. If the contract said you will deposit the money in this bank, I may guess the reason, I may be right, but I can't come back to the person and say, well, it's obvious that the reason he wanted this is because of this and this, and therefore this was a better deal. But if the contract says you'll deposit it in this bank, being that they give the highest interest, I become the master of it. So I can claim that that's the more important part of the contract, and now it's here or there, whatever it is. The mitzvahs were given to us, once Matan Torah is given to us, where the directive comes first. And we have no mastery over the Maisa. So since Sefer Torah and Tamei Torah are sort of they give us a reason, so a person who is a yachid, a person, people of Das and Yerushalayim, they hear a reason, it enriches their flavor of doing the mitzvahs, but it does not serve to become the key and the master over the mitzvah. So yes, it gives me a tam when I do the mitzvah, but even if it seems the mitzvah in this particular instance is contrary to the tam, I will still not use it against it. Whereas the hamonam has a tendency, well, the reason for this is this, and it doesn't really apply here, and therefore we shall reverse course or whatever it is. That is a very, very strong reason why it was given over. I want to point out in context, this was one of the key components in the machlokas of Chassidus and Mishnagdus. The point of Chassidus was that people are doing actions without tam. They're done by rote, they're done mindlessly and heartlessly. So now, to give taimim that are kind of, you know, just invented taimim, this is for that, the other one, obviously nobody felt that that was appropriate or good. But we do have a big treasury of taimim in Sifrei Kabbalah, which are emeset taimim. So let's open up that storehouse and let's give people the sense of the dveikus nachash baruch that you get by doing this mitzvah, that mitzvah, the other mitzvah. That was the approach of Chassidus in its broad, in a broad strokes. The counter thing was that when you start, if you speak about what kind of dveikus you have in a Kadosh Baruch Hu with davening, and that's the ikar of davening, so the time begins to matter less. Having a meal before, if it helps you have the dveikus, is good. And the Nefesh HaChaim, one section of it is devoted. You have to understand something. It wasn't a question of davening early or later, chassidim, no, terrible people, davening late, and so forth. There was a struggle for how to prioritize. And I think like all machlokes are great people, both sides meant the same thing. The question was, which side needs to be exaggerated because of the problems? The chassidim felt that avoda was dry, sort of letter of the law, no spirit of the law, and infusing it with lots of emotion and understanding of it would give so much more neshama to it. And the litvisher, the mistagnisher position was that without having structure, you have nothing. That's the point of Chaim makes. I mean, learn it and you'll see. That's exactly, that was the struggle. I want to tell over an anecdote that I read, which sort of exemplifies just by the fact that it was written as such. And I was quite shocked and surprised, but where I read it. Rav Zevin, Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Really big Talmud Chacham. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula, he was encyclopedic, and he was one of the founders of Encyclopedia Talmudis. He came from old Chabad, which meant, wasn't Lubavitch, he was a Kapist actually, and very sympathetic to the Chassidus. He sort of had this quasi-tish in his house. He had the flavor of the old Chabad Chassidus pre-Rashab days in the Kapuska. Fine. He has storybooks, Sipuri Chassidim, which he culled and he brings the stories that he feels are quintessential and true to the spirit, and it's his taste in the stories he brings. He brings the following story. There were two very big tzaddikim. I don't remember the name. I have a poor memory for big tzaddikim. And one of whom was a Lubavitch, a Chassid. I think they, if I remember correctly, they said something about they called him the lip. He had something with his lip or something, the lip or something, whatever it was, next other things. And they were Erev Rosh Hashanah traveling, and they were not near a Jewish town yet. And it was getting late. And they finally, it was quite late, and they finally get to a town with a Jewish minyan. And as they're riding through the town, they say, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, we got here, finally we'll take a shofar," and someone tells them, there's no shofar in this town, but another 10 kilometers down, or 5 kilometers down, there's a town with a shofar. The halacha is, Eim Avirna Tchum for shofar. So the other chassid, the non-chavad, started slowing down the horses, you know, and marched all asot. The Chabad one whipped the horse and said, "You know, Gigangin, we're moving," and they went to the other town, despite the fact it was out of the tchum. And the other chassid was like shocked and told the Chabad chassid, "I don't stand. It says Ein Avirin al ha tchumin for tkei shayfa." So the other chassid answered him, "Your Rebbe taught you the halachas of Shofar. My Rebbe taught me what Shofar is. And if you'd know what Shofar is, you'd also want to be Ivma Yvalatchum to get there." That's the story. It's shocking that somebody like Rav Zevin would bring the story. And again, if I don't need to believe the story ever happened. If it happened, there may have been another three shitas. In other words, maybe it wasn't Ben Hashmashas yet. It was the first shita, not the second shita. Maybe, you know, I don't have a problem finding some halachic solution to the story. I don't think it's great chachma to just vilify chassidim as being oiv halacha, because then there's no point to talking about the machlokas. They were great people. This was a big struggle, but that attitude where you put the timing before the Maisa was the struggle between Hasidus and Isnagdus. And the story is shocking. In other words, with all due respect to knowing how great Shefa is, you know, at the end of the day, the Tam is still not, it doesn't override the Halacha. In conjunction with this, just to even out the score, there's a different Chassidus Shemaisa, which is an awesome story. It's a gewaldig Gewart, and it shows the other side. This was in Ger. This is a true story. The in Ger, with the Stas Emes, built Ger Chassidus, and davening time on Shabbos morning was 10 o'clock. That was Ger. You got up in the morning, you didn't get up 10 o'clock, you got up 7 o'clock, you went to the mikveh, you learned through the parasha with the medrash, you did this, you did that, you prepared yourself for davening. It wasn't a sleep-in. And 10 o'clock sharp, that's when the davening gear. The Sfas Emes was nifta, and his son, after the shiva, the Avramotcha, the Emes, announced, Zman Krishma is 7:35, davening 7 o'clock. And Ger was like devastated. It, because for a lot of people, this had become the way of life. I mean, the Chanef at Tefillah, with everything that went into it, from 7 to 10 and davening at 10 was the Yiddishkeit. This was, and all of a sudden the whole world topsy-turvy. You know, you roll out of bed into davening, and it was just, they didn't know what to do. A Rebbe is a Rebbe, and a Rebbe, you know, makes takanas and tayers as he wishes. So one of the older Hasidim went to the Rebbe and sort of tried to convince him to change the takana, and he needed to be able to word it, present it diplomatically. So he said the following. He said, Rebbe, he said, My davening was so much better before. I'm a weak person. I know that if I were a stronger and a better person, I wouldn't need all this time. But, you know, I'm just a weak person. I can't possibly... It takes me time to get my ruchnis revved up. And if the Rebbe would only know how much better our davening was at 10 o'clock, I'm sure the Rebbe would, you know, would for our sake, change it. So he answered him in typical laconic Kotsk/Ger fashion. And he said, Il mole hoye ma'abrim va kurtav shal dvash loy hoye adam yochal lamed me'rechoy. If the Ketores, if they would put in a drop of honey in the Ketores, the odor would be overwhelming. It would be infinitely greater than what. It would knock everybody out. So the kasha is, v'lomei ma'abrim dvash. So why can't you mix dvash? Mipnei sha'atayra amra v'esaktiru chalsar chal dvash. Because the Torah said, you can't be makdeh certain dvash. In other words, you're right, but you still can't miss Man Krishma. And this was chassidus, it was ger. But it's just sort of the other attitude. So one reason, this is a bit of a digression, but I think it's an important sugi in terms of understanding these things. So one inyan was, when you give over time in Tramoyin Am, you make them the balabas over the halacha, and they misuse it. Instead of it enhancing the understanding, they use it to limit the halacha, which is absolutely wrong. One. Second reason why time and mitzvahs should not be given over to Hamayin. Let's talk about this. Let's give a muscle and understand. Let's say a person went through a very, very difficult period in his life. A death, lo aleinu, a divorce, lo aleinu. Things, a very difficult illness, a difficult issue with a child. Things that are very, very difficult. And now he sits down with somebody. He builds somebody that he's close to, and he wants to unburden himself. So he sits and he talks about it and shares it with him, and the sharing of that of those deep feelings are part of the intimacy and the kesher with that person. One instinctively feels that a room full of people in that setting, is not appropriate to talk about it. Even if they're all close friends of mine, there are one-on-one intimate sharings, and there is something in a tzibur, it's kind of exhibitionist. Like, you don't talk about, intimate things. Intimate things are spoken about intimately. It's got nothing to do about this secret can harm you, not harm you. It's just the flavor of things that are very close to you is that it's done in a very intimate surrounding. And it could be a room full of my best friends. There are things I'll speak one-on-one with each and every one of them, but not as a group. That's the tzur of it. The Maral, when he speaks about, in the Mishnah, it says, Ein Darshan Barayas, and Ein Darshan B'dis, and Matzah Rekavet, he says, the tzura of how Torah is given, of how each particular area of Torah is given, reflects the nature of the Torah itself. The Gemara calls it Chamukah Yerichayach. In other words, there's an intimacy to it. That the Torah that is called chutz, meaning the description of the outward manifestation of the mitzvah. Matzah is flour and water and baked within 18 minutes, etc., etc. That's the outward manifestation of the mitzvah, and that has the makom berabim. You makil makhelos and you derish b'Torah, and faket, there's the inyan of rabim, that's a very big chizuk. That's the tzura of Torah, that's the chutz. There's a chelik of Torah that's chamuk yirchayach. When I talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his deeper anhagis, and intimate anhagis, it's an intimate Torah, and the more intimate that is, its tzura is yachid to yachid. And therefore there's something about the flavor of the Torah that is extremely, it's perverted when it's talked about casually, at a cocktail party. So do you really think that Atzilus is mischaba with Kesser in this way? I mean, it's not cocktail party talk, just like it belongs to the world of intimacy. In Torah also, Torah is a knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the Chalokim that is Chutz, and the covered of that is Berabim, to be Derish Berabim, and there's a Chalik that's called Pnim, and its covered is to be Nidrash Bifnim. And be chidus, and the more intimate it is, the less of a tzibur that you want to dashen it to. So there's something about the covet of that chelik of Torah lies in the intimacy rather than, and the Chazal called chamuk yirichayich, meaning which is the intimate part of a person, and so on. That's the second reason. It's something that in America, we also have a lack of a sensitivity the idea of things being private is lacking in the covered nechvadas. I was once sitting on a bus from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak, and it's about an hour ride. It's all from people. A from American lady gets on. She sits down to the lady in front of me, two strangers, and she had a loud, raucous voice, shrill, and by the time the trip was over, I knew everything about this lady's divorce, and so did half the bus, at least anyone understood English, and it floored me how a person could speak about, yes, the need to unburden at the talk is very important, but to pick a stranger next to you on a bus and to speak about it in a tone that the whole bus, even if they didn't know English, they probably guessed most of it. It just was so sure. I was astounded. I mean, I was beginning to guess maybe why this lady's husband had gotten rid of her, but it's just something about it that's terribly, terribly undignified. It's terribly degrading. That's two. A third reason is that there's a big problem in the world of discussing pnimius of Torah, because chitzenius of Torah deals with very physical things. Matzah is very physical. So what's good flour and what's good water and so on and so forth. There are little mistakes. In other words, the topic itself doesn't require a refined mind, but rather it requires simply just knowing the material. But when we start speaking about our HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhagas, there's a big, big dilemma. On the one hand, you're talking about things that have no real metzias. On the other hand, you have to talk about something. So you speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right and left. You speak about this midah, that midah, other midah, but they're not really midahs the way we understand them. They're all mishalim, and it requires a very refined mind to be able to think of the abstract, even though you're using concrete markers. So you're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's left hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right foot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's left foot, but you need to always strip the muscle into nothingness to get to the nimshal. And that's dangerous. A person who learns Zohar, and he's not that way, then instead of becoming a bigger tzaddik, he becomes an apikoris, because he pictures somewhere in the recesses of his mind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right and left. There's no right, there's no left by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no hands, there's no feet, there's no top, there's no bottom. There's none of these terms mean what they mean in a physical way. So only yichidim are shayach to that type of understanding. And you need to pick those people. Maybe we'll talk more about this in some other time, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are three of the reasons. Rabbi Mechaya just says that the Torah itself laid down the principle that one should not discuss these inyan with Hamon Am. I'm giving three reasons, three of the main reasons why it's like that. And here's the marker. Maybe in other places we'll talk about it more.
Ready?
Yes.
Does this perhaps tie in with what we learned about last year, that in terms of what is more chashuv, the Torah that's nistar versus the Torah that's nigle, and that Torah shenistar only has chashivas if it's built upon a structure
Correct. It's the tochen of it's the tochen. Torah shenistar is the tochen of Torah nigla. Yes, it's correct. It's a description of nigla. Correct. Okay. Then the Rabbi Mechaya says another point here. He says, why in the Torah do we use Eish as being the prototype of Malacha? It's the only Malacha that's really written Mefurish. The Gemara Darshins, it's the Gemara Darshins from it, the Inyan of, it's Machlokas, where it's a Lav Yotzes, a Lechalak Yotzes, but just Alpi Drush, he says a Pshat. Uklal kol amlochos b'melechas eish, ki b'yadua sherov amlochos shev ne'odem isaskebem ein al de eish, ke eish sibasim ikram. So I'll take a drop of liberty to interpret his words. The motor, the energy, eish represents energy, which it does. Eish is the most tangible sense of energy that we possess. So, Eish, since the shorish of all malachas is energy, so Eish is designated as the prototype malacha. Olekach tikno chazal b'mitzvos Havdolah Motzei Shabbos, and that's why Chazal or Metakin by Havdolah should tchilas hetam lochos levorach ala Eish bo me'Eish. So that's why by Havdolah we start the week by a brach on fire, because from now we're putting the motor on. What we're going to do with the motor, well, we can drive the car, we can use the drill, we can plug the saw in, it makes a difference. But all of these things are told us of Eish, so to speak. So that's why the first bracha we make on something is Barmer Eish. Because the Eish is Tchilas Hamlacha Ma'aseh Breishis, Ukinah Shekasuv in Mishnah Vayi'or. So that's why he says also, he answers another issue. Why is the first Bria Or? Light is a very nice thing, but, I mean, when you build a building, you don't start with the lights. It's a strange thing. And he says because Or is another way of describing Eish. It's the force, the energy of the Bria, the power of the Bria. And that's why that was the first Bria. That's what he describes. Now he adds another point here. He says, Vihine, Dalad brachas Abdullah Rishum Sam Kol Maskel. The four brachas of Abdullah are in Parshas Bereishis. Birchas Hayayin, Rimuzi Bepasik Bereishis Bemilas Haaretz, Shehu Agan, Begefen Bagan, Vayayin Amishumah Vanova Sheshmei Bereishis. So when it says, Bereishis Orat Kimas Hashemayim Bes Haaretz, Oretz is the chelik of Oretz that was designated for men is the Gan, and the crown of the Gan is the Gofen. That's one. Berchus Atzei Psamim, Remuza B'milas V'ruach Elokim, K'areach B'mtzos Ruach V'Avir, Sheyishaf Adam Aviv V'yachnes B'chaydmei. The second one is in the Ruach Elokim. That's where you have a remez for that. Va'oid Mashidur Karuchos Minyas Hareach. In other words, Reach rides on Ruach, on the distribution through air currents, and that's why one is telling the other. Moira Ha'esh Nema Yi'or Hamav Mekor Shechol Shem V'yavol Kimer Al-Khoshech Ravenze. So Mechaya tells us that, you know what, he says, in the parasha of Havdolah, in the parasha of Reishas, we have all of Havdolah Merumas. Fine, that's the remes. But why? I mean, why would we have in the parashas Bereishis Merumas Avdolah? I mean, I could see Vayichulu, like after Vayichulu, we'd find someplace. I mean, maybe if the first day was Sunday, it was Motzei Shabbos was before that. But why in parashas Bereishis do we have Avdolah? So let's talk about it. There's a saying that Develop thinks that the Yesod of our Amunah is Bria Yesh Me'ayin. And the truth is, the Bria is Ayin Me'yesh. Let's talk about this. The assumption is, if nothing existed, so things came into being with Yehi Ara. But that's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the entirety of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was everything, everywhere. In other words, our belief is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Netzach, and the world was a Chiddush. So if the world was a Chiddush, then what was the first act of the Bria? The first act of the Bria was the other way around. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut Kaviyachol and limited himself not to, what he created was a bubble of the appearance of not being there. So when a person takes a look around the world, he sees himself, he feels himself, he sees a world of nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a lot of thought, insight to believe and so on. So the first action that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was to divide a piece in a universe, just using words, so that in a universe that was totally HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ukdushasai, a chelek was made into chulin, where we could choose to do good, to do bad, and so on. So the maisa of bria is a maisa of havdalah between the ultimate and the finite, between the kodesh and the chol. That's what it is. The word bara, the Rishonim, Ramban, and Ezra, they bring one of the meanings of bara is like liveris sayar, which means to cut down the forest. The word bar bro means outside. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made something outside of himself. That's the Ma'is of Bereishis. So the oimik of the Ma'is of Bereishis is a havdalah from total kedusha to chol. Chol is a world of reshus. The entire universe is referred to in the Gemara as Chalolo Shal Roshus. It means nominally, literally, it means kind of the dominion of Rome. But it carries itself this flavor. It's the bubble of Rishus. In other words, the first step of Islam was the Havdalah from Kodesh, and we're left with the world of Chol. So it would be extremely meaningful if the person were able to if in Parashas Bereishis we found Havdalah. And I didn't mean it so playfully when I said if the first day is Sunday, then the night before must be Motzei Shabbos. In other words, the world was Kulo Shabbos, so to speak, and now Kadosh Baruch created Sunday. Shabbos came back to original Shabbos, but it starts with Sunday because the before was the Shabbos. So the world starts with a certain Havdalah, and then this comes into being. If you also think about the different elements in Havdalah, in Havdalah we have the Geffen, we have the Eish, we have the Psamim, and we have the Bracha v'Mavdil. And he points out which one is. If you think about it, each one of the elements, Geffen takes a person from the rational world to the supra-rational world. In other words, the transcendent world, the world of Seichel cuts gvulos. The das creates the Havdalah, and the Geffen blurs the Havdalah. So Geffen is an element that stands on that line of Havdalah. It's from the beyond to where it is. Eish is the beginning of, like he says, like Malacha, of Asiya, of the world of the dynamic world to the static world. Reach, it says, the Inyan of Reach is that it's Meshiv as a Nefesh. In Keteres, it says, Vayamed ben Achayim Amesim. In Keteres, Reach, when a person faints, you usually try to revive him by giving smelling salts. The Koyach of Reach is a Koyach because it rests on a person's Koyach Achius. Halachically, you measure a person living by the breathing of his nostrils. You know, the neshama, so to speak, is the apov. So that's the dividing line between chayim and mavis, and havdalah and ketush and chol. In other words, we point at specific elements that divide, that are the very sharp divisions in the world between the different inyanim. So, like upon him, that is the remez. That's where the remez is going with the inyan of havdalah. So we've spoken about a few things in Reh and Bechaya. First is the Inyan of Sisa Torah, why it's supposed to stay with Yechidim. Second point was the point about the Melachas being all formats of Eish. The way, imagine a motor that you can attach an infinite amount of applications to it. Same thing, energy has many, many applications, but if you want to grab the concept of work at its source, the energy is where you grab it at. And then we have the remez of Havdalah and Bries Olam, because Bries Olam kind of is an act of separating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and becoming an independent entity. That's the real act of creation.